Strap yourself in,
because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
Yes, sir. Reading you loud and clear. Clear. The clock has started.
Five, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
This week's episode of our podcast. Today we are going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our field. By sharing our collective expertise, we will show you how to harness, control, and use your own skill set to achieve ultimate success and live the life you want. And now, please welcome your host.
Welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier, partnering with the Smalls. And we have Dennis Cater and Nate Moser, along with myself, and y'all know me, Chris Gorog. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us on.
Thanks, Chris. Good morning. Good afternoon. It's afternoon.
Well, thanks for having me on. So we're gonna use the same feed and reciprocate podcast. So let's start with some, you know, where you guys been. Give us an update on things.
Where have we been? Well, I haven't been in any place recently. I'm getting, as you know, Chris, I had some medical issues, so I'm just getting back on board, and we're actually trying to kick off doing things again with the Smalls. So we still do our weekly newsletter. We're still doing collaborative events. We just had a networking event up in Denver with the Advanced Space and their Aerospace Happy Hour. So we're still out there reaching out to the small government contractor community ecosystem, or people that want to be part of the small government contracting ecosystem, trying to find those small companies that want to engage and get plugged into the network.
It's been picking up a lot actually lately.
Yeah.
I just checked my voicemail. I had to call 5 people back yesterday alone, just on people wanting to know how do they become members. I checked yesterday. We started in 2017, as you're aware, Chris, with the Smalls with 2 of us, October of 17, and now we're over 800 members in the Smalls. So it is constantly growing, so it's not a bad thing.
Well, it is definitely an area where people are interested. I mean, and you're not just cybersecurity. So just that precursor that, you know, we are New Cyber Frontier. We're always looking at cybersecurity, and you're looking at small business, and they parallel, because we have both. You have that need, and we like to help small businesses. So go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's a two-sided coin, right? So part of it is, you know, we support the small government contractors, a company that want to become small government contractors. And there's 2 sides to that, right? A is you're a company that wants to provide cybersecurity services, or you have a cybersecurity tool or something that you're developing that you can bring to market. That's the one side. The other side is all those companies need cybersecurity support, and all their infrastructure need to be looked at from a cybersecurity point of view, I think. And so we talk quite a bit to cybersecurity companies, helping to bring them into the fold, but also folks like you and other companies that will assist small government contractor companies to become compliant. Because once you start going into that DoD world, that's obviously everything you do now is going to be regulated and monitored. And, it's a different viewpoint where you have to make sure that you're compliant with the government requirements for cybersecurity, which is a lot. I mean, it's not just the NIST. You know, everybody talks NIST. Was it the National Institute of Standards and Technology?
Yeah.
NIST. 800-171 is the standard for commercial companies, meeting all those cyber requirements. But it goes well beyond that. I mean, there's, you know, if they start talking the CMMC, what's that stand for? Cyber Maturity Model.
Certification.
Capability Maturity Model, yeah.
Yeah, so you got to start looking at that as well. And, you know, just on a day-to-day practice of how you're using your email, what kind of tools you're using for email. I'm in a, right now I'm working for a small startup, and You know, they're grappling with right now, they use Google. Well, the government's, you know, well, you guys need to switch over to Microsoft because that's really the compliance system. So Microsoft 365 and use of Teams, not using Google Meets and that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's a big window for everybody to kind of look out and go, oh crap, both internally and externally. So yeah, it's a different world.
And at the same time, I run a small business, a startup. I think I have one more person. I have like six people right now. And so I'm always listening to what you guys can help me with as well. So on both sides, I think all the way around, there's a good fit here.
Yeah. Now, Chris, on the new cyber frontier, are you guys actually focused on cyber in general, cyber DoD, cyber commercial, or all cyber?
Well, that's a good question. Let's hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back. Just take a short break here.
Business owners, looking for out-of-the-box solutions? Five Star Bank's Business Solutions Group is here to help you with all your financing needs. When you need a creative, innovative approach that goes beyond traditional solutions, think of Five Star Bank. We care about the growth of our local business community. With offices in Colorado Springs, Denver, and Trinidad, Five Star Bank is easy to find. Visit 5star.bank to connect with us today. That's the number 5, STAR.bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier and the smalls as well. And before the break, you had asked the question, you know, where do we sit? Where's New Cyber Frontier? And you can't believe I've been doing this for 9 years now.
Wow.
No.
We went over 400 episodes.
Nice. Congrats on that.
I don't know where it goes from here. At times I've been like overwhelmed by it. You know, honestly, there's times I'm like, I'm done with this, but it just, we have so much of an intrinsic, participation, and they're not loud. They're quiet. So they just listen and I get downloads. I don't get a lot of comments. I don't get a lot of people talking about it, but it's just like that's cybersecurity. But there's a couple of demographics we've been able to determine that, you know, a big part of it is decision makers. I have over 6,000 people that are CEO titled positions that are linked to me directly, first level, because of this. And just they passively listen. They don't say anything, but they're out there and you could tell and you see who downloads and who's been on your feeds and whatever. And, you know, we get like over 50,000 hits a month in traffic on our site that houses it. That's just our site. We get into, the Stitcher and the other podcast sites. I don't even have metrics on them, except for just downloads. And, you know, our mature podcasts between 500 and 1500, some of them hit over 15, over 1400 last year. So some of the big ones. So literally each one of these shows gets as much attention as a conference in cybersecurity. So it's not like I can just kind of say, oh, I give up, I quit. But the other demographic seems to be students, people at the beginning end of their career that are looking for what they need to know, what they need to be aware of. And to be honest with you, in the 400 episodes, I put out more content than I did in a whole cybersecurity degree when I was the director at Colorado Tech. So there is a lot of information and knowledge out there, and not just drone knowledge, but from the experts themselves.
Yeah.
I'm asking the people, what is the questions? So, that's the two, we don't focus on startups. We don't focus on government particularly. We have several themes within the theme, within New Cyber Frontier. I've had several sub segments of themes. IEEE sponsored a good bit of them. We had several University of Colorado and some other companies that sponsored series within the series. And it's just a matter of, how does it grow from here? What kind of resource can we be? But a lot of it was getting me, it's almost like a self-help for me. I'm continuously staying in the industry, continuously doing my knowledge building. And, so many of us that are professionally certified require getting CPEs. I meet all my CPEs by talking to other experts, things like that. So it's just all the way around about.
Well, we found that interesting too. You kind of don't know anymore when you put something out there on the internet, really where it goes. Like how many people does it really touch or speak to, or, you know, somehow influence. It's pretty amazing, actually. Well,
we found with our own, once we started tracking metrics, like you said, right? You don't know.
You don't even know.
We're on so many different platforms. Well, we're on every single platform in the smallest cast, but our podcast. We pulled the numbers one day, and or at least the metrics of geographic locations. And at the time, this was a couple months ago, it was every week, people in 48 different states and 24 different countries are listening in on our podcast. But mm-hmm. for numbers, who knows, right? I mean, like you said, you know a few, you know some downloads, but because we're using all the different podcasting sites, you never know all of them.
Yeah, it's an instant syndication where it's going to places that we don't even have stats to be able to download.
Well, and you know, that's really indicative of cybersecurity.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be a bad thing, right?
So I think both your podcast and your program and ours are very similar in that, you know, we try just to get pertinent, relevant information out to who we consider our audience. And our core group, like you know, you mentioned your core group, our core group is really probably owners or business development people for startup companies. And then those that want to do business with the government or Department of Defense, government's kind of our focus, but I mean, it can be commercial too. A lot of this stuff just applies across the board, like yours, you know, cybersecurity. It doesn't really matter. You know, we had the water bottle company guys on a few years back. Model outdoors.
MODL.
And I'm like, what the hell do water bottles have to do with the government stuff? And it's like, well, they want to sell the water bottles to the government. I'm like, oh, well, there you go. Right. But you don't always put the two pieces together. And that really, like cybersecurity, like small business growth, I mean, it's just something that everybody's doing. And so the topics that you bring are relevant because it's just kind of a generic enough topic that it kind of covers the gamut of customers. And even if you're not specifically doing cybersecurity, like we just mentioned, you know, you got to have kind of an ear to it because it somehow impacts your business. No matter what you say, oh, I don't need to worry about cybersecurity, I'm just going to buy cyber insurance. Well, there's a whole other episode, right? Cyber insurance. So, I mean, mm-hmm. it's all connected. And I think, you know, you don't hear about it so much in the news anymore. I haven't really heard any big cyber incidents occurring, but they happen all the time.
The economy's kind of, or at least cybersecurity, has lost a little bit of focus, especially this last year. I have heard, and it's something that, you know, I don't think I've been too public about, but a lot of people have come to me looking for work that are high level in cybersecurity industry. Hey, don't tell anybody, but I'm quietly looking, whatever. I've heard several people that are, you know, higher up in companies saying, hey, we've just laid off our whole group. I think this year has been challenging in our industry, quietly kind of pushing it away.
I think at least on the DoD side, what took place was all the small businesses really pushed back on the CMMC certification that was supposed to be coming out, you know, 2 years ago. Now they got the CMMC 2.0, which is really a redefining of what CMMC is going to be required to do. Though I think those small businesses really went to their senators and representatives and said, hey, you know, we just can't afford to pay a company $100,000 for our 10 people just to lock everything down. I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing. It's something that we all need to do. It's just, it's business, right?
You're looking at the people with the stomach for the most risk in the world running a small business. You know, and this is the most expensive thing they could do at that point in their business with the least return on investment that they can prove. And they're already high risk taking people. It's like the last thing on their mind, even though it's important. And I'm in cybersecurity. I'm making cybersecurity products. And I know that I'm evaluating, well, what can I get away from? How much can I just pull my stuff off of public eye while I'm working on it? Because it's an expense that we don't have.
Well, I argue too that a lot of processes, especially during COVID, you know, when everybody was home and we went to these video formats and all that. I think, and I just mentioned, you know, Microsoft 365 and Teams. A lot of products now have become more hardened, if you will, or cyber compliant already. So I think a lot of the background work, you talk about getting on AWS platforms and things like that. Well, they're already coming in at, you know, different cybersecurity levels. They'll tell you, oh, well, we can establish this and we're already IL4, IL5, boom. You know, and so I think the other side of that is cybersecurity has also become a norm, if you will. And a lot of the products, programs, systems are now in place. And so you don't, you know, we just talked about cyber insurance too, right? I mean, all those are normal things. I just worked on a contract with another company. I was helping them stand up this company. And one of the things was they had to have cyber insurance. They had to have $50 million in cyber insurance. I thought, that isn't that funny? So I went back to the parent company and said, hey, you know, we don't have any IT infrastructure, you know, we're using commercial stuff. And they're like, oh, it's not for you guys, it's for us. So if somebody gets through you and hacks us, it covers us. Oh. And so again, I think what has happened over the last few years, I think COVID accelerated it really, is everybody realized they got to be cyber compliant. And a lot of this stuff happened. It's just kind of like you said, Chris, it's kind of radar sort of, you know, it's not flashy. It's not.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to become mainstream, like you said, until a massive issue comes.
Yeah. Up. We've been saying that for 10 years now.
Let's take a break here from our sponsors. We're right back. I wanted to address that and talk about that CMMC and some of the other compliance stuff. Be right back.
Are you ready for the CMMC? The CMMC is the new cybersecurity mandate from the Department of Defense for all contractors and subcontractors. Devil Dog Cybersecurity has a team of engineers that are certified assessors who know the CMMC inside and out. Devil Dog is an RPO for the CMMC accreditation body. Our solutions are cost-effective and meet the complex requirements of the DoD. We offer a free CMMC evaluation at devildogcyber.com. That's devildogcyber.com.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier and the Smalls kind of co-partnering on this podcast. Before the break, we were talking about small businesses and expenses and what the last years look like. And CMMC was the big latest compliance thing that about a year and a half, 2 years ago, right? I was at a conference not too long ago, and I was listening to the people talk about the next version that they're throwing that out, and here's the next greatest thing coming down the pipe. And and it's, you know, it's been 3 years. Yeah. 2 years before that, 3 years before that, it was NIST 171. 3 years before that, it was RMF. 3 years before that, it was DICAP. 3 years before that, it was the Rainbow. And this is where the small businesses are at. If we wait 3 years, it's gone anyway.
Yeah. Well, see, like I said, I don't think it's gone. I think we take those pieces. Like CMMC, while it's never been fully enacted, you see people like, well, I'm CMMC compliant. Or they at least went more towards activating the pieces of CMMC. You know, this 171, you heard us, we were just talking about my company now, is, oh, well, we're going to put this 171 compliant. So the terminology is out there, and they know about, you know, to set the system up so that they are somewhat compliant, whether they fully are or not, I can't say, but at least they're looking at control.
I see what you're saying too. They all have the basic same components under the hood, and they just, they're from the next administration. And I think this is a factor of the 3-year administration window in the government.
Yeah.
And the next administration comes in and they're like, well, we're going to do it our way. We don't really understand that. Or we weren't a student of that. Or we know better than them, which is, you know, what I've heard several times and just kind of, but it's like that, okay, we're the highest risk taking population, small business. And every 3 years, the requirements changed. A new administration comes out. Why would we spend too much time focusing on it? I mean, that's what goes through my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. And it comes up once again, but I think it all boils down to cost, right?
Sure.
I mean, we've worked with lots of CMMC companies and they're having a tough go at it, right? Because nobody's willing to open up the pocketbook yet because nobody's forcing them to, right? The DoD, it was supposed to be, you have to be compliant by this day or you could not even go after a government contract. Well, I think, they realize that the small businesses is going to say, I can't afford that. So I guess I'll just go work commercial work now and not care. Right.
Then they were going to said you can put the cost of becoming compliant into the contracts.
Yeah.
And that went like,
so I mean, what I heard coming down the pipe is literally on the zero trust. And yeah. they're redoing the whole basis and having a new way to look at it and everything, that everything's going to come, the compliance requirements are going to be that you meet the zero trust pillars and in these formats yeah. and everything. And they're looking yeah, at, well, CMMC is outdated. Literally, I heard somebody say that.
It has never been implemented.
Like I said,
but they said 171 was outdated when CMMC came around. It's just that 3-year cycle.
Yeah, well, I agree.
That and like I said, though, I do think that companies and organizations are implementing the pieces of it. You know, maybe not fully compliant, but they're all moving towards becoming more. It's just part of our culture now, right? I mean, it's part of the systems we build. We do software development, right? It's embedded in the software development.
But like Chris is saying, though, now the new word is zero trust. What does that mean? Does anybody know what it means? No.
No, I can't trust
you. There is no such thing as zero trust.
They're probably getting to the first point where there's a basis behind it. And it is maintaining the chain of trust across your segments, through the supply chain, on your system, through your data, your customer base, all, that chain of trust. But, the way they're addressing it, I'm not sure if they'll get there. But I think, the concept is getting more honed in.
Yeah. No, I think the concept is a good concept, right? I mean, mm-hmm. it is looking at your system holistically and where, trying to harden up all the pieces of it. But
And you know a little bit about what I do. That's where I've been focusing on for years. And I think they're finally catching up to it. And our products are going to implement that in a big way.
You got to hurry up. You got 3 years.
I know. You got 3 years. What's the next thing?
No trust.
You know what? Okay. I'll tell you what the thing after that is. And this is, I'm shaking my head. I might just go home at this point, or wherever it is in the world where there's no returning for me. I review proposals for government entities, and 75 pages of proposal by some of the top scientists in the world said, humans cannot do cybersecurity, so we're going to use ChatGPT. We're going to feed information in and do whatever it says.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Android Trust.
This was a proposal for millions of dollars from the government.
Is there a name?
What's that?
Is there a name?
AI.
The name is Humans Quit.
I downloaded a new ChatGPT/Bard/whatever for my phone this morning, actually. Nova, I think they call it. I was like, let me try, because it was touted as, hey, the latest and greatest AI bot for your phone. I'm like, let me try it out.
Just to cover your phone.
It was a full subscription. So now AI is going to a full subscription.
Oh, well, ChatGPT already is.
My son pays for it every month. I see.
Yeah, initially it was, and I was playing with it. I was just on Google, and it said, hey, you want some new themes? And I set up a new account. And I was like, well, sure, what are these themes? It had some general themes. And it says, do you want to try the new Google AI themes? I'm like, what is that?
The Bard.
So you go in there, and you put in, different words, and it'll generate a theme page, front page and theme page for you. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you something that made me stop a little bit and think about it. And I did this too, but Colorado Office of Information Technology recommend all their employees. They said, do not use ChatGPT with your Gmail or webmail that you've had for, 10 years. I guess somebody did a session for, 8 hours or so on ChatGPT and monitored the API from your Google email. And there was 2 gigabytes of data pulled out.
Ooh.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah. Well,
it is learning about you by all of your emails from the past. And over through that API that you give a permission to.
Yeah. Crazy. And back to cybersecurity. Well, that's where cyber's gotta go next. And I don't even know how to. The problem is we're so open now with everything. And everybody's, I allow that. Even, you get the little pings about, do you want cookies or not? And if mm-hmm. you say no, usually it shuts down. So, you don't want that. So I'll allow the cookies.
I'll give you my recommendation on where it's going with that is ChatGPT, general AI, is basically going to magnify our problem with disinformation.
Oh yeah.
Right now, the amount of information that exists in the world, the percentage of it produced by humans is pretty high. That won't be the case in 5 or 10 years. And if AI is making decisions based off of data created by AI, and this cycle spins into what point, we are the next trend is the combating of disinformation.
I would say that that's already happening. But yeah, I agree with you. And it's already doing that. I mean, there's already AI that's putting out, you know, there's algorithms to give you the news feeds, and there's already AI putting out news. Like, you can hear it sometimes when you're watching something. You can hear they don't say the words right, you know. When you're listening to something, the word, like, wait a minute, what did he just say?
The problem, guys. I mean,
you can't even tell anymore.
Social media is what destroyed it in the first place.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, even back in the day, everybody used to watch just the news channel, whether it be Fox, CNN, ABC, NBC, whatever. Right. Yeah. I don't think that even back in the 80s, 70s, 80s, I don't know if they were telling the truth. Right. It was all op-ed still.
Yeah.
So where do you get your news? I think that what I do personally is I don't listen to any one. I'll listen to like foreign channels. I'll listen to Australia, what they're saying about the US.
I just make it my own.
I'll research my own, right? Because
I make it my own news.
Yeah, there you go.
What? I like that one. I'll listen to yours. It'd probably be just as good as any others.
Well, Chris, we enjoyed coming on your show today.
Likewise, I enjoy being on your show. Thank you.
We're looking at the time again. We're like, crap, man, it goes fast.
You guys have to bail here. So
you're back in the States.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely get together again and we'll do this again. But thanks for being on today. And you're welcome for being on your show too.
Thanks, Chris.
All right. Have a good one. Bye.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Smalls Podcast. Connect with us at thesmalls.org. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to receive our free materials. See you soon at the next episode.
See you at the next episode.